Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Adam Ragusea. What do Joe Kennedy II, Vicky Kennedy, and Governor Deval Patrick all have in common? None of them want to run against Senator Scott Brown for 2012.
No consideration
for 2012. Not even a little bit right now.
I'm very committed to advancing Teddy's ideals, but I don't want his job.
I don't have any plans or interest in running for anything else than governor of Massachusetts.
Well, here's the good news, bad news for all of them. None of them would win anyway. At least that's according to a new poll this week from Suffolk University.
Also this week, six alleged victims of sexual assault came forward saying they were abused at Camp Good News on Cape Cod, where a counselor under investigation for sexually assaulting a child 26 years ago committed suicide earlier this week.
But first, the big news today, a Congress at loggerheads over the budget could lead to a government shutdown as that midnight deadline approaches.
And joining us to dig into the week's news is Peter Canellos, editorial page editor at the Boston Globe. Hey, Peter. Peter, are you with us? Oh, I think I heard a syllable out of Peter. Is he there? All right, so we're going to hope that we get Peter, as we can hear, that Craig Sandler is thankfully here with us right now. Craig Sandler is general manager of the Boston Red Sox. No, the State House News Service. Hey, Craig.
In my dreams, Adam.
That's right. All right, so here's Speaker of the House John Boehner and Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid today on the big budget showdown.
There's only one reason that we do not have an agreement as yet, and that issue is spending.
It is an ideological battle. It has nothing to do with the fiscal integrity of this country. It has everything to do with the ideology on that other side of the Capitol.
I don't think these two could even agree to disagree, Craig. So what's your sense? Are we going to see a compromise in these next 9 hours?
I doubt it. I think that we're going to see a brief repeat of 1995. And it's not clear, as we sit at this table, how that's going to redound to the political fortunes of the players. I think that they're close enough that it's not going to drag out, and they do take their lesson from Newt Gingrich. I hope I'm wrong, and it wouldn't be surprising if I was. I mean, I'm just coming from a state house now where everybody is they're actually not watching the Red Sox on opening day for once. They're mainly watching MSNBC because they're like the rest of the country. They're wondering what the next step in running the government is going to be.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, could this have a trickle down effect on the state budget? I guess we're always like borrowing against future federal grants.
Yeah.
How much do you have to pull on that thread before the sweater comes apart?
Well, and actually, I just want to add one other thing about why I think that probably we are going to see at least a brief shutdown, and that is to speaking to that quote that it's all about ideology.
Yeah.
Ideology is really important and the country, cares about it. So I think it's
ideology is politics.
Isn't it? Ultimately, it's
what you care about. Yeah.
And so, I think that it's specious to say, well, it would be a shame to stop the government for a little while, to have some people suffer for a little while over ideology. I mean, there's the people that happens sometimes when there's serious debates about policy, which this is. Anyway, I think that in Massachusetts, and perhaps this is partly why I'm so sanguine about it, I really don't think it's going to be a very big deal if it's brief. And that includes the federal grants and so forth. Again, I may be being too cavalier, but I will say that I went back to the News Service archives for 95, and that was, again, it was a medium length shutdown. It was maybe a week and a half, and you can't really find stories. You can't really find references to bad things happening in Massachusetts because, just as a matter of bookkeeping and accounting, there's money for now in the Medicaid account. There's money for now in community health clinics or certainly state parks, which have little to do with federal parks. So in the short term, I don't actually see gloom and doom next week. If that's all the shutdown lasts, and I don't think it's going to be protracted because everybody is going to suffer and nobody knows who's going to suffer more.
Well, that's the thing that you think about is that if the real impacts of a federal government shutdown don't begin to hit you at a local level like they would at state government in Massachusetts or what have you for a little while, then ultimately is this a symbolic deadline, and what's the actual substantive deadline? Like, well, when Yeah.
Well, you know, I think it doesn't really matter what the impacts on state services are. The impact on federal services is immediate. I mean, you know, school vacation week is coming up, and people are booking. They want to go to the National Zoo, and they want to book their visits to Ford's Theater, and all of those mm-hmm. venues are going to be shut down. I'll tell you what, school vacation week could have a lot to do with getting this thing wrapped up.
Yeah, exactly. I understand that Peter Canellos is on his way from getting turned away from up at Acadia National Park. Because of the government
actually,
shutdown.
Actually, he's in front of a TV, I'm sure,
he's in
trying
section
to catch
16.
Him.
He's in section 16. He just couldn't get reception.
How's it going, Peter?
Hi.
All right, so let's go ahead and use this occasion to move on to a Suffolk University poll this week describing Scott Brown as virtually untouchable. Of seven possible contenders, the only one who came within 10 points was former Congressman Joseph Kennedy II. Here he is again at an event last month where he was asked if he had considered a run against Brown.
I start to feel ill all of a sudden. No. Listen. There's two congressmen back here who would do a great job at running against Scott Brown.
And those two congressmen were Michael Capuano and James McGovern. McGovern wasn't included in this poll, but Capuano was. So according to Suffolk, he stacked up 26% to Brown's 52. The top three candidates who polled closest to Brown, Joe Kennedy II, Governor Deval Patrick, and Vicky Kennedy, all have said they're not running. Peter, what do you make of that?
I've always said that I think the Democrats would be better off with a newcomer, sort of a Brown of their own, to take on Scott Brown, somebody with less baggage. But I think the whole poll overall reflects that there's still a respect for Scott Brown, and people are, prepared to give him the benefit of the doubt right now. But we're a long way from November of 2012, and nobody here or in Washington considers this a done deal that Scott Brown's going to be reelected.
Mm-hmm. Well, so Craig, how much credence do you give the poll?
A good deal. I mean, again, I think, you know, Brown has played his time in office quite well for Massachusetts Paul. I think it's the case. I love the Kennedy clip because it reminds me of a time in 93 when Kennedy was thinking of running for governor against Weld. He did for a short time, and we asked Weld about it, and Weld said, all those teeth, all that hair, you got to run scared. And the same thing can be true instead of Scott Brown, by the way. It's a sort of a sense of deja vu.
And all that money.
Applies as well. But
I bet if all of our listeners knew that over the last 2 weeks, Senator Brown voted to take away the EPA's right to regulate carbon emissions and, you know, voted against fuel emission standards for vehicles, you know, those are popular stances in Massachusetts.
Peter, you're talking about substance. We're talking about hair and teeth.
But I think it's true. But I think that, you know, they love the hair. They love the tail. They find him funny. They find him great. But when they actually, you know, focus in on a campaign and somebody starts making those points, it's going to look a little different.
Well, who amongst the Democrats, Peter, is going to have the courage to make those points when Scott Brown does have $8 million in the bank to sort of counteract any point that might be made on his actual substance?
I'm not saying that Brown isn't going to be a formidable candidate, but I do think that the National Democratic Party is certainly willing to put money into this race. I mean, they have very few opportunities in 2012, and this is their number one target. So there will be a lot of money for the Democratic candidate, and President Obama will be on the ballot. So.
Yeah, but Scott Brown is a candidate who ran pro-torture. I'm using the phrase a little loosely, but supported the idea of torture for anti-terrorism and ran against the health care bill. And that same poll, if we're going to accept its results, showed quite a striking shift, actually, in Massachusetts residents' opinions about the health care bill here. They say it's not working well, and they don't favor it. And that's a real validation of Brown on the issues. And then you go to the personality, and then you go to the truck, and then you go to the money. And
well, to Magnus' point about the money, of course, one need only remember the Senate candidacy of Celtics co-owner Steve Pagliuca to be reminded of the fact that money isn't everything, even in elections. And I went back to my notebook from that election night, and according to my calculations, he spent $110 of his own wealth per vote.
I actually covered him. It was $110 million?
No, I was going per vote.
Oh, per vote.
$110 per vote.
I'm sorry. That's true.
That's the Obama campaign.
To come
campaign.
In third in the Democratic
Massachusetts
primary.
Voters drive a hard bargain. Apparently, it takes more than $110 per vote.
So is there, I mean, Peter, is there any amount of money that is truly unovercomable? That's not a word.
No, I don't think so. I think it's quite possible. You know, Scott Brown could run the richest, and he will run probably the most expensive Senate campaign in Massachusetts history. But I still think he could lose.
I think it's true. I think, by the way, that Rick Scott just did in Florida did run a campaign with an amount of money that was unovercomeable. I truly believe.
Thanks for backing me up on that vocabulary there, Craig.
Okay, yeah. here to help.
No, go ahead, Peter.
Oh, no, I was just going to point out, yeah, but Rick Scott, he won by like a couple thousand votes. I mean, it was a teeny, teeny margin.
That's
so it gave just enough, I guess.
Well, that's all you need.
If it hadn't been for the massive amounts of money, his own money, he would have lost by a similar margin or greater. That's my point about the money.
Yeah. Let's go ahead and move on to another story here. This is the Camp Good News story. This week, a counselor named Charles DeVita, who was under investigation for sexual abuse, committed suicide. Six people have come forward recently alleging they were sexually abused at this Christian camp on Cape Cod. Not all say alleging that it was DeVita, yet all of them, five men, one woman, said that they were inspired by Senator Scott Brown, who revealed in his recently published memoir that he was sexually molested on a camp at Cape Cod. And Senator Brown has not named that camp, but Camp Good News acknowledged that Brown attended the camp and issued him a letter of apology earlier this year. So, Peter, do you think that these victims would have come forward were it not for Brown's book?
Obviously not. I mean, they all, the timing is pretty irrefutable here.
Well, nonetheless,
I don't mean to suggest at all that they would be, wrongful claims. I mean, I think it seems like there is a problem there, and that in the case of Charles DeVita, the camp leaders had been alerted by people, including DeVita's mother, that there was a suspicion that he was abusing campers, and failed to take appropriate action. So. Scott Brown has, done the service of justice probably a favor in terms of encouraging people to come forward because there might well be a problem at that camp.
Well, Craig, there are a ton of details here. DeVita's mother said that she warned the camp decades ago that she suspected her son may have been molesting children. The camp denies that. Meanwhile, a counselor reported to have repeatedly found child pornography on DeVita's computer and reported it to the police, but nothing happened. Is this possibly just the tip of an iceberg?
Well, I think it is. Frankly, the whole case is encouraging to me in a strange way in that over the years I've seen a great deal of policy made about summer camps at the State House. It struck me very oddly when I first got there. It never crossed my mind that you would want to be really careful about counselors. And I can attest that state law now about who gets to be a counselor and how they're vetted is very different than it was when Scott Brown attended this camp. It's very different than it was when I got to the State House. So on that level, I wouldn't be at all surprised if it's the tip of the iceberg. You can't impugn – I mean, you really cannot – it's not fair or responsible to impute anything specific to that suicide, but certainly that's part of an iceberg, and that wouldn't be at all surprising. My point, though, is that actually we ought to be – at least somewhat encouraged by how the state and presumably the world have changed since Brown attempted that.
That's a great take on it. Thanks.
We're going to do a talker about this exact subject on Monday.
On Monday. Right.
Okay, good.
What we're going to do right now, however, is talk about our hubbub. Meghna, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. Mine actually comes from the Harvard Mental Health Letter, and it's about intermittent explosive disorder, when people just for no reason explode into anger, road rage, etc.
That sounds like a lot worse than what it is.
Just knock it off, Meghna.
Well, apparently it's more common than people thought. 3-4% of people have it. Although I presume if the Sox lose today in the Boston area, it's going to be like 90-95%
explosions. Yeah.
But the new word is that that research on drug treatment has been limited, but apparently antidepressants and mood stabilizers might have a positive effect on people who have uncontrollable rage. So a Lansdowne Street, you have been told.
Craig, you look like you're about to explode.
I'm gonna. Right here, right now. Perhaps there's a way to get some pledges out of it. Just.
Don't even go there.
Yeah, okay.
This is a news program. We don't do that here.
In any event, moving on, I do want to continue with the theme of positivity and point out that state revenues were up in March 9.2%. It was noted earlier this week, and having been through three cycles of horrible economic catastrophe, linked loosely but laggingly to state revenues, I can tell you that this is an unmistakable sign that things really are getting better. The business taxes are up. What we call the growth taxes are just now beginning to turn around. So you can take that as an opening day ray of sunshine.
It's a good thing because costs at Fenway Park are so high. There goes all the money.
Okay, forget it.
Peter, what's your hubbub?
On the very same day that they're getting rid of the color-coded warning system for terrorism, Menino is imposing a color-coded warning system for sugary soft drinks. Now, it's tempting to laugh and make reference to nanny states, but I think it's actually an admirable effort to try to promote good health, especially among children.
All right, so my hubbub is also health-related. This pertains to the possible spread of Salmonella by Penelope the Snake. Oh. Yes, we're going to go back to snakes on a train here for a second. This is the snake that got left on a Red Line car. Penelope's owner was fined $650 for the cleaning of that car, and she said this week that she refused to pay it. She said that restaurant workers who handle raw chicken pose a greater risk of spreading Salmonella on the tea, and I kind of think she might not be wrong. But anyways, the blogger Mike Minono, what else could we describe Mike as, Meghna?
He is a gardener extraordinaire.
Extraordinaire.
Yeah.
So Mike is also a poet, apparently, because he wrote a poem about Penelope the Snake. And I just want to I just want to read you one quatrain, which just cracks me up. $650 is fair for a snake to travel alone, unless it transfers anywhere, which then costs $6.51. And I just think that's precious as all get out. But anyways, Craig Sandler, State House News Service, thank you so much.
Thanks, I think.
And Peter Canellos, I'm glad we finally got you.
Yeah, thanks.
We'll check you again sometime soon.